It's November 14th, 2010. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Bolser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, creator of heaven and earth, as we reflect in these days on the realities of our world, the turmoil, the violence, and the means by which we attempt to address those circumstances, I pray that we will be mindful of your kingdom and the call to be a sacrificial and a peace-loving people. Give us the courage to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. In this month of Sunday at CMU, we are pleased to be rebroadcasting a series of meditations featuring Norm Dick as our guest speaker. He is Executive Secretary for Church Engagement with Mennonite Church Canada. He's also an MA grad student here at CMU. The scripture text for today is Genesis chapter 41.
The dream of peace, of God's peace, is on our minds again, even as our nation remains at war in a distant land. But is it just a dream? In Genesis chapter 41, Joseph is again confronted with a set of two dreams. However, unlike chapter 37, where Joseph is left with a measure of uncertainty surrounding the truth revealed in his dreams, Joseph is here called upon to give Pharaoh an interpretation, called upon to reveal God's truth. And Joseph tells Pharaoh that God has revealed his plan for the nation of Egypt, a plan that will see Egypt and all of the land experience 7 years of great prosperity, followed by 7 years of devastating famine. And so Joseph issues a challenge to Pharaoh to prepare the nation for famine, store up the harvest, and ensure the people will be provided for when the famine strikes. For those who know the story, we recognize that it is the unfolding of this dream that will prepare the way for Israel's salvation and the continuation of God's promise in Genesis chapter 12, given to Abraham and then passed on down through the generations to Isaac and to Jacob. As Pharaoh's dream unfolds, we know from reading on in the story of Joseph that it is Joseph's own family, his 11 brothers who had despised him and his father who had long ago believed his son was dead. It is this family, the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel, who experience God's salvation in the midst of a devastating famine. As this dream unfolds, we see again that it is in the upside-down ways of God that a foreign nation becomes the primary actor in bringing God's salvation activity to light. Because Pharaoh listened to God's message delivered through Joseph, both Egypt and Israel were saved from devastation. God's dream is still upside down, even today. And God invites his people to participate in the unfolding of this dream. A dream that sees the weapons of war transformed into farm implements in Isaiah's vision of beating swords into plowshares. A dream that sees justice and mercy and a people humbly walking with their God. Is this just a dream? Is this just a dream with no hope of a present reality? Is this just an apocalyptic end times expectation? Or is God's dream of peace waiting to unfold among us? Is God inviting us to make preparations, not for the famine of war, but for the prosperity of peace? As the MCC pin which I wear this Remembrance Day declares, to remember is to work for peace. This is God's dream. This must be our dream. And as the dream unfolds, we are called to action, to prepare, to spread the peace of Christ even and perhaps especially on this day that we pause to remember the tragedy and the horror of war. Amen.
God of our life, through all the circling years, we
That was God of Our Life, sung by Henrietta Schellenberg. Kevin Dirksen is my interview guest today. I recently spoke with Kevin by phone at St. Jacob's Mennonite Church in St. Jacob's, Ontario, where he's a member of the pastoral team. Kevin graduated from CMU in 2007 and immediately went on to graduate studies at McMaster University. I was fascinated by Kevin's reflections on what it means to be a person of particular conviction in a space such as McMaster. So join me for some of our conversation. It strikes me that even your transition into the McMaster environment, it's a very open space, right, where you grapple with ideas from many different sectors and ways of thinking. Is there a parallel there perhaps for many of the people in St. Jacob's who are living day to day in those open spaces, and you had to grapple with some of that around theology, but the environment may be quite similar to other kinds of vocational spaces?
Yeah, no, I suspect so. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the most immediate disjunctures, you know, moving into the McMaster environment. I was in classes with people who would say if I had you know, particular personal commitments to what it was I was studying, I would give it up immediately because it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be true. And, you know, my response is, well, if I didn't have personal commitments to what I was studying, there's not a chance I'd be doing it. You know, I'm I have no stake in this beyond, you know, I have no stake in the study for study itself. I have a stake in this because this is where I identify myself and where I have been called and identified. So yeah. I mean, yeah. So in that sense, for sure. And I mean, whether there's parallels to, you know, to the lives of people in our church communities who clearly do live in a number of different worlds, and yet, you know, we call them to find their primary identity in Christ and you know, in the church community, the body of Christ. And I do actually wrestle with that as well, because in a sense, because I've never had to wrestle with that. My vocational calling has always been an ecclesial calling, and so however I've experienced it in whichever direction it might take me, whether in, you know, in pastoral ministry or in study of theology or teaching or whatever else, I've never had to figure out, okay, well, now, you know, if I have a life work that is other than, that is somehow other than the church, you know, where is that point of integration, or where is that where is that overlay? And I know that is an issue for all sorts of people. So in a sense, I'm. It's been interesting to realize that I haven't had to wrestle with that in the way that others have, and I'm learning to figure out what that means.
And at the same time, it seems to me that the kind of studies you've done that give you some grasp of the grand story of God and creation in an increasingly diverse and kind of fragmented experience that we have in the world, that in itself was a gift. So
That's right, and that's been a helpful way of understanding what it is that, you know, that we do as particularly as preachers or communicators or teachers, and in a sense there's something really beautiful about going back and making the claim that we preach the gospel in a really kind of a in a basic and straightforward way. And because that gospel, you know, it's infinitely complex, and you know, we dance on so many different variations of these themes. But yeah, that it is that's maybe one of the comforting things is to know that what you're doing is, while it's infinitely complex, also has a certain simplicity to it.
If you were talking to potential incoming students to CMU now, what kind of word of advice or encouragement would you give them?
You know, that's a hard one. I wonder, because I had the funny experience of just being totally fascinated by the world that was being presented to me by the, you know, the professors who were teaching me theology and history and kind of Christian imagination sort of stuff. I was just fascinated by this whole world and how it worked and what it meant to perceive and to see and to imagine the world as a Christian. And that whole complex I found just terribly interesting, and it grabbed me and didn't let go. And I don't know if that's everybody's experience. I think there are a number of teachers at CMU who create that sort of a, draw that sort of a picture, construct that sort of a an image, imagination, and so, you know, take courses and pay attention and try to catch something of the sparkle or the spirit or the excitement of the world that's being drawn up for you, because it's the world that God's created and it's beautiful.
So that may mean either studying philosophy with the likes of Chris Huebner or work for Ron Boise.
Yep, I think so.
You can see the sparkle in a couple different ways.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, that's the truth.
Well, thanks so much, Kevin.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for calling.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. This evening, November 14, it's the Friesen's Art Cafe at 7:30 p.m. in the Laudamus Auditorium with Leanne Regier at the piano. You can pay your admission at the door. Then November 21st, it's Vespers, 7:30 p.m. in the Laudamus Auditorium, a time of worship through prayer, scripture reading, and choral music. And plan to join us for Christmas at CMU. You can attend one of two of these events, Saturday, November 27 at 7 p.m., or come Sunday, November 28 at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. For more information regarding these and other events, I invite you to visit the CMU website at 3ws.cmu.ca or check your church bulletin. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website, and I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.